Sometimes you preachers out there, when you stand at this moment in your life and you think, why on earth have I chosen this message? Why is this right for today? I'll be honest with you, there are times when you stand here and you think, I have no idea. I have no idea why, who it's for, how it's evolved and so on. But hopefully today it'll spark off some thinking and a response from us. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond at the end, and it'll be slightly odd, but you'll go with it and you'll see how we get on. A day for lots of questions and hopefully some honest answers from you and from me. First of all, have any of you ever paid off a loan? Wow, yes, there you go. Okay. Maybe a mortgage, right? Mortgage. Any of you mortgage free? Yes! Isn't that a great feeling, eh, to be mortgage-free? I'm sorry to those of you who are not mortgage-free and are struggling every month to make the money go round and pay the mortgage. That's one of the big bills that we have to pay off. But it is a real relief when you actually pay that off. Or a PCP. Anybody have a PCP that they're still paying? Yes, we all got them, haven't we? Lots of us have got PCPs. If you have no idea what a PCP is, I see you shake your head. You don't know what a PCP is? Dear me. A PCP is, I think something like a personal contract purchase. I've just made that up. but it's to do with your car. If you pay for a car every month, but some of you are so wealthy that you've bought your car and all that sort of, I know that. But it's a great feeling when you get to the end, because it's like a 3-year agreement or a 4-year agreement. And when you get to the end of that agreement and you pay off at the end of the day, it's like a release. And then next month when you get your bank statement and the money's not taken out, you're feeling really wealthy. You know, you're feeling really good about it because you don't have that commitment to keep on paying. And if you have, you'll know about that great feeling to be free of that debt. And today, I want us to think about what being free really means in a spiritual context, which is why we talked about the story of the unforgiving servant. You know, and it's interesting because Peter suddenly comes to Jesus and says, how many times do I forgive? Seven? You know, and did you think, you know, when you read that, did you think Peter was thinking, seven? That's pretty generous. You know what I mean? I'll go high in my guess. You know, you do that, don't you? When you're having a quiz or someone says to you, how many do you think this is going to involve? Do you ever watch Richard Osman, House of Games on BBC Two when you're having your tea? And you just go for the guess and you go high because you think you're going to look a bit of an idiot if you go low. So Peter thinks, oh, well, how many shall I say? One, two? How many times, if someone's annoying me or running me down, do I forgive them? Once or twice? And he thinks to himself, no, I'm not going to go that low. I'm going to go a bit higher. I'm going to go for seven. Seven's a good number, isn't it? So I'll go for seven. And Jesus says, oh, no, 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 no. Forget seven. 70 times seven. And he doesn't really mean 70 times. What is 70 times seven? How many? 490. There you go. All the mathematicians amongst us can do that quickly. I should have written that down, but I didn't. But anyway, there you go, 490. Well, of course, he doesn't mean 490, because it'd be like your mortgage, wouldn't it? You'd be getting to 470 and thinking, oh, another few times I forgive, and I'm free of forgiveness. I don't have to do it anymore. See, now, that's because God doesn't think like that. He doesn't think, I'm going to stop forgiving them after a certain time, or after how many times they've messed up or sinned. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. I'll give you the page number. It's number page 77. What's the matter? 77. Oh, thank you, Maureen. I didn't think of that either. Have a quick look at verses 2 to 17 on page 77. So why do we need forgiveness? Well, that's the reason in there. Exodus chapter 20 gives you all the Ten Commandments. And you don't have to have broken every one of them. It's not like a game. It's not like a competition. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. How many people do you know who misuse the name of the Lord our God? You have it all the time, don't you? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor. I find that Sundays is probably my busiest day sometimes. That's the reason we need forgiveness, because we break those rules. Keep your finger in that page for a minute or two. So this is kind of a lesson in practical Christianity, the parable that tells us to do to others what God has done for us, i.e. to forgive each other. So going back to the parable of the unforgiving servant, I can't remember now where I got it from. Where is it? Matthew 18 or something? Anybody know? Is it on that sheet? Paul, have you got that sheet? No, you haven't. Matthew 18, verse 21. I haven't got the page number for that. Anybody got it? Matthew 18. Say again. 9:85. I just thought we need to use these Bibles. We don't always use them. There is such a depth of pleasure in reading Scripture and finding God talking to you through it. Do it at home. Don't just leave it till a Sunday. I can't even turn the pages. And right at the end, look, verse, I can't read that, 35. After all the story about the way in which the king says, okay, just because you say you can't afford it and you beg for mercy, I'll wipe your debt free. Who does that? You don't go to the Land Rover garage and say, actually, I quite fancy a debt-free loan. You know, can I have interest-free? Can I just take the car away? No, you can't. You can't go into the shop and say, well, actually, I fancy a few free vegetables this week. Is it all right? It don't work like that. Go try it. Go to Morrison's, get to the queue and say, Mike said we could have a free week. And at the end, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Think about that. Is that right? Is that what God's saying? If you don't forgive, then I'm not going to forgive you. Is that what God's saying to you? It's a question. Is that something you can do, forgive each other? Or is this a problem for you? Is there someone who you've not forgiven? There used to be two sisters who came to this church a long time ago, and they sat in the same building and they never spoke to each other. They didn't sit on the same pew. And they fell out and they didn't speak to each other. They came to worship. Everybody knew about it. And as far as I know, they died without making up. Is there somebody you can't forgive? God says that's not good enough. Because if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. That's what he says. I'm not making this up. Do you need to say sorry? Is there someone that you've upset that you need to go to them and say sorry? There are lots of references and stories in the Bible about forgiveness. Even Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And of course, perhaps my favorite story about, I did really think about doing it, but the parable of the prodigal son, you know, when the son goes off and spends all his money and he comes back. And the bit I like in that story, as I've said many times before, is the bit where the father looks out for him every day and he stands on the terrace and he looks down in the hope that his son's going to come back. And day after day, his son doesn't turn up. And then one day, one fantastic, miraculous day, the son turns up And the Father, Father God says, here's my son. Maybe that's for you too. Do you need to come back to God? Is that something that you need to do? We need to clear the debt of sin. When we sin, we offend God. But because of what Jesus has done at his Father's request, we receive God's forgiveness. It's important to know that God does not ask you to repay the debt, but God's love leads to forgiveness. But only accepting Jesus and his propitiation do we receive God's forgiveness. Okay, let's find that. That's in 1 John chapter 2, and it's on page 1225. Let's find that together. 1225. Now, the word propitiation, I always think of as a sort of football illustration. And, you know, if you ever wear the number 12 shirt, you know that you're not included in the main team. And you're sitting on the bench waiting to come on, yeah? Do you ladies know about football or not? See? See, look, did you hear the little moan down here then? Did you hear that moan? Did you hear that moan? I said, do you ladies know about football? They moaned. Mike, what are you talking about? Of course, it's nothing to do with being a woman or not. I heard you. I heard you. I hear that moan. I'll tell you later where I'm going this afternoon. Here, verse chapter 2, my dear children. Can you see that at the bottom of page 1225? My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And this is the main bit. He is, in the King James Version, it says he is the propitiation. He is the substitute. He is the man that was put in our place. In this version, it says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, it's no good bringing your pigeon to church anymore, or your sheep, or your lamb, or your ox, or whatever they used to sacrifice in those days. It's no good turning up, getting the sheep out of your boot when you arrive on the car park at the back and bringing them, because we don't do that anymore. It's no good bringing a pigeon in your little carrier bag, like you throw the cat out and bring a pigeon. You couldn't sacrifice your cat. Oh, that's too much, isn't it? Sacrificing a cat. Is Dawn in? No, Dawn's not here, thankfully. She'd hate me saying that. We don't do that. We sacrificed Christ. That's the point. The blood of Christ washes us clean. It's a red blood that makes you white. It makes no sense to me, but it's what we learn about. And if I'm talking gobbledygook to you, you need to come and talk to us, and we'll try and explain it. But making sacrifices of animals doesn't provide you with forgiveness. That's what they thought. Only the people who were part of the group of Zadok the priest were allowed in the very inner part of the temple. Only those guys could go in. They sprinkled the blood, and they thought that that took away their forgiveness. That gave them forgiveness and took away their sin. It's not like paying off a financial loan after so many repayments, because Christ has paid it once for all. And in this amazing ransom style thing, someone else comes along and pays off your debt by standing in your place, by being the propitiation, by being the substitute, by wearing the number 12 shirt and coming on and saying, I'll stand in their place. That's what Jesus did for you. You, all of yous. That's what he did. He stood in your place and said, I'll take the sin. I'll take the punishment, I'll take the pain, because I love them so much that I want to stand. And I will kneel down and I'll take the debt. And I'll bear the punishment and I'll pay for it. That's our story. That's our story of the gospel. That Jesus died for you. So, some final questions. Do we get less sinful as we become more mature Christians? I'm not looking for an answer to that one. Do we get less sinful as we become more mature Christians? And if not, why not? Why don't we? Why, as we mature as Christians, as we understand more about Scripture, as we have more encounters with the Holy Spirit, why don't we become less sinful? Is forgiveness a divine parachute? One more reference to you find. Page 1132. 1132. Romans 6. Romans. Got to do more on Romans. I promised I would. And this is Paul in one of those very confusing things that he writes. So do you think we should continue sinning so that God will give us more and more grace? Of course not. Our old sinful life ended, it's dead. So how can we continue living in sin? Did you forget that all of us became part of Christ Jesus when we were baptized? In our baptism, we shared in his death, so that when we were baptized, we were buried with Christ and took part in his death. And just as Christ was raised from death by the wonderful power of the Father, so we can now live a new life. Because I thought, maybe some people think, well, if I've got this right to forgiveness, I'll just carry on sinning. So I've gone back and said, Lord, forgive me again. Lord, forgive me again. I've done this wrong. Lord, forgive me again. Paul says, no, you can't do that. You can't keep doing it. It's not like in a monopoly. It's not like a get out of jail free card. That's not the way it works. God expects you to be closer and closer to him as you mature and as you learn more about him. And sometimes the wording of some of the translations at the end of that passage that we read imply that if you do not forgive others, then you'll not be forgiven. Is that right? And the question I asked earlier, will God withhold his forgiveness? Will he run out of patience with us? Will God withhold his forgiveness? Will he ever say, sorry, you've come to me too many times. You've knocked on my door too many times. I'm not going to let you in again. I've got an answer, but I'm not going to give it because I want you to work it out for yourselves. Jeff will come and tell me later. I know Jeff will come and tell me. Which is absolutely fine. Talk to yourselves about it. Will God withhold his forgiveness? And one final question. Are you willing to open up your heart and accept God's free forgiveness? Are you willing to do it? I'm going to ask you in a minute to do something that we've never done before. I've never done it before. I want you to bring your Bibles, right? I want you to start at the front row on both sides, okay? On the front row. I know there's not anyone there. Right, start on the front row. Come down the center aisle, right? And we're going to build a wall of Bibles on this top step as a wall of faith, of a sign of faith. Now, I know you don't like it, and I'm telling you, God gave his son. I'm not asking you to do a big deal. No one's going to be arrested or taken to jail just by walking down. So walk down, come down the middle aisle, and go back around that way and sit in your seat. If you can't walk, that's not a problem. Ask someone to join, bring it down for you. But bring the Bible, we're going to correct a wall. I've asked Gary to try and construct this wall. Do you remember when Lindsay was here? She talked about building a monument, about having something in your life that reminds you of what God has done. And I want you to hold your Bible, and as you come here, not out loud, just quietly, say a silent prayer, either asking, right, you've got three choices, asking for forgiveness, that's one, thanking God for the forgiveness that he provides in Jesus, or saying sorry. Okay? Asking for forgiveness for yourself, thanking God for the forgiveness that he gives, or saying sorry. And as you lay your Bible down, say that prayer. And we're going to sing a song first, and we'll do that after we've sung this next song. And then finally, and I've said finally three times now, so it can't have been finally, do you need to go and seek reconciliation with somebody? I don't know. This might be for you. Maybe you need to reconcile. Maybe you need to go and say sorry. Okay, let's sing it.